Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to Saving with Steve, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun as it relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Thanks for joining us today. So think about this. Do you want to learn how to deal with those pesky hormones? What about the hot flashes going away? What about improving your testosterone so you can have more energy? You remember the old diet and exercise? What if it's really not working anymore? Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot about this. The old brain fog, those, you know, the joint pain and the inflammation. Do you want to do away with it? So you're going to want to stick around. We have Sarah Banta. She's the host of Accelerated Health Radio and TV. She's going to join us and help us solve all our problems. On top of that, think about this. Think about back when you were a kid. Did your parents talk about money, or did the subject cause them to shut down? What lessons did you learn from your parents? Could it be something that has caused you to continue with your relationship with money, and it may be affect you positively or negatively? It might be a good idea to reevaluate that. We have Andi Frazier. She's a best-selling author of the book Financially Free. She's a behavioral finance expert, and she's here to talk about this, about, you know, helping us have a better, healthier relationship with money. So you're going to want to stick with us. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Sarah Banta. You can see her right here. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully well. So let me kind of reintroduce you here. Sarah's the host of Accelerated Health TV and radio show. She's a health coach, a natural supplement expert. More importantly, she's a mom of three teenagers. She interviews people on how to accelerate your body, mind, spirit, to provide natural, innovative solutions to families for their health and nutritional needs. Now, here's the interesting thing. She was never planning to get in this business, but 15 years ago, there's some events that happened in her life that caused her to change the trajectory of what she wanted to do. With that, Sarah, welcome again. I'd love for you to share your story.
Well, thanks, Steve. And I so appreciate you having me on. No, I did not expect myself to get into this business at all. I had gone to Stanford, studied economics and psychology, thought I was going to be in business, stocks and bonds, that sort of thing. And, you know, my health just started failing. And it really failed when I went through that third pregnancy and all the life was sucked out of me. I love my children to death, but that was the turning point for me.
You sound like a regular mom.
Right. I started, you know, I needed coffee after that third baby and I needed a little alcohol at night. So there you go. But what happened with me is my health hit rock bottom and the Western medicine really did not give me the answers. So I searched for alternative medicine and alternative practitioners to help me find my health solutions. And while I was on my journey, my oldest at the time was 9 years old and he was not doing well. He did not look well. He was not feeling well. He was a bright student, a good little athlete, and he had no energy in school. And we got him scanned by my practitioner with a machine called the Scio machine. And that came up with leukemia. And his body just was saying no. And so that was the point where I looked at him and I was in tears and he looks up at me and goes, "Mom, why are you crying? You're going to fix me." And that was the moment when I said, "You know, I am, and I'm not going to stop at anything." It didn't matter what my health was doing. It was all about him. So we started giving him a supplement called the Accelerated Silver that you now can find and is my flagship product, essentially, and cleaned up his diet as much as you can clean up a diet for a 9-year-old boy. And he just started thriving again. But I really didn't trust it until I got him retested a year later. And what we did was put the cells, his blood, underneath the microscope, and we saw his cells under there. And then the first time we saw the cancer cells everywhere. And the second time, not only were the cancer cells gone, but his blood was beautiful. There were no foreign pathogens, no viruses, bacteria, candida, anything. And you and I have those things in our blood everywhere, and our immune system takes care of them. They were nowhere to be found. His blood was just beautiful. He was energetic. He was back into his sports. He was still, you know, getting his straight A's like he had gotten before. And at that point is when I said, you know what? I've got something here and I've got to share this. This is my calling. And I never looked to work outside of the home or do anything like that. I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And my passion for health was so strong that I can't imagine doing anything different. He is now an 18-year-old boy, has not only are the cancer cells gone, he has not missed a day of school from the cold or flu or COVID in 9 years.
That's
literally
awesome.
Not once. And my two daughters, same thing. They went through elementary school, their friends getting sick left and right. And this is before we were all in shutdown. They have not missed a day of school from being sick either. And they have not had any antibiotics. And we've been healthy. My husband used to get 2 to 3 sinus infections every year. And he has not had one since we started on this regimen. And then my business has just grown from there. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know, and the more I'm eager to learn. So I study. I went back to school and went to the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, where we study over 200 dietary plans. And then also the Invincible Wellness System, where essentially you become your own doctor and mm-hmm. you learn how to take back control of your health. So that is my goal, especially in times like this, where it's hard to get to the doctor right now, you know, with COVID and everything. And so I really want, and there's so much fear and so much stress that is being created. And I want to give people control and the tools that they can use in their own house for their own families.
You know what, Sarah, I think there's a point there that is really big. People aren't able to see the doctors. Just 2 weeks ago, I actually called my own doctor to see if I can get a physical. And I was told that he's not doing physicals right now. And I have a brother who just last week was put on hospice and has stage 4 melanoma cancer. For the last year and a half, or not last year, but the last almost year, he's been trying to get set up for trials because all the other stuff wasn't working. And he went down to Houston and all that stuff, but they didn't have capacity because of COVID. Basically, they haven't been able to help him. And obviously, he's in a bad spot right now. But the reality is, 3 years ago when he was diagnosed, if he was even further back than that, if he had the ability to understand what was going on with his body and do something about it, he might not be where he is today. And for a guy like me, which most people don't know, I went through colon cancer 15 years ago. But what people don't realize is back then, I was 42, but I was the 7% body fat guy and I worked out all the time. My pulse was 36. So the first couple of doctors I went to, they just thought it was an irregular appendicitis or an ulcer. And they were completely wrong until I got sent down to Scripps in San Diego to have an emergency surgery because the tumor clogged up the colon and all that. But there could have been signs, or at least if it's like kind of the aha moment, you really got to make sure you get in and get tested or figure out how to way to get tested. So when you talk about that, I think that's vitally important to understand your own body and how to assess it.
Yeah, it truly is. And I've, all 5 of us in our house, 3 kids, 1 husband and me, I always joke that God gave me all of these people in my house with very different health issues so that I made sure that I could master all of them. And it's just amazing how the world works and the universe works, because there will be days when one of my children has a kidney issue, for instance. And then that week, I've got 2 or 3 clients that come to me and say, okay, I've got a kidney infection. What do I do about it? And I truly believe that I'm being used in this forum to help others and give them that control.
I think it's wonderful. I think that's wonderful, Sarah. Now, I got to ask that question. And this is more comes from my wife because she's been waiting for this episode. I'm in my mid-50s, so I want to go exactly how old I am, but I'm in my mid-50s. So is my wife. And she's been dealing with those pesky hormones, the hot flashes. And like I was telling you before, I used to be the guy in the t-shirt and shorts with the window open at 40 degrees out. I'm still the guy in t-shirts and shorts, except for it's a long sleeve one. And I have blankets on. But now my wife is like shorts and a little tank top and no blankets when she used to freeze. So it's all flipped. And she has those hot flashes and then she freezes and all that stuff. She's like, how do I deal with that stuff?
Well, it's great that you're asking the question. My husband's 51, I'm 45. And once I got over the hump of getting me out of the black hole of hitting rock bottom with my health, it was all about anti-aging. And what we don't realize is all our hormones are connected. And the number one hormone that is the game changer for the cascade of hormones in your body and your wife's body, whether you're wanting to increase testosterone and human growth hormone, or she's wanting to balance out her estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, is insulin. We have, over the years and years and years of being glucose dependent, dependent on carbs and sugar for that energy, our glucose increases, our insulin is being released and a little more released to keep our blood sugar in control. And then more released and more released. And then finally, our body says, I give up. You know, we don't go to the doctor and get our insulin tested. They test our blood sugar. They need to be testing our insulin. But the thing is, if you are not on a low carb ketogenic diet, your insulin is high. There's no doubt. Because the other things that are affecting your insulin is the xenoestrogens in our diet, the toxins in our air, the heavy metals that we're eating, the heavy metals we're breathing, the radiation from this computer we're on right now and our smartphone to our left or right, all of these things are disrupting our hormones. That's why our children are going through hormonal issues earlier or much later. It's affecting our children to such an extent we can't even put our minds around it. So let's talk about insulin. When you become more insulin sensitive, meaning that your body doesn't need to release that amount of insulin, you are going to be reversing all of the age factors. You are going to increase your testosterone and human growth hormone. Your wife's hot flashes are going to reverse. She will start anti-aging. Not only that, but you will have less arthritis, less pain, less inflammation in your body. And this is how it works. A ketogenic diet is a low carb diet. Now, a lot of people are talking about keto and they're thinking, oh, this is a really high fat diet. Yes, it can be high fat, but it can also be just low carb, higher protein.
Sarah, hold on a second. I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to have to take a break. We want to talk more about this. So everybody, please stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you'll never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. You can also get information on the Insiders Club and more. With that, I want to welcome Sarah Banta back. Sarah, we're talking about being hankry.
So yes, so the insulin is causing a cascade of hormones going in the wrong direction. So what I teach people to do is I have a supplement that's called Accelerated Keto. And it's different than any other keto supplement because it's in pill form. But not only is it going to kick you into that fat burning mode called ketosis, but it is also has the ingredients, 9 additional cofactor ingredients that increase the fat burning, increase the cellular energy, increase ATP production, so that you have that amazing mental clarity. It clears the brain fog. It gives you physical and mental energy to go do your workouts without any food because you're snacking on your fat stores. And then as an athlete, what's neat is that you don't break down muscle. So your body's building its muscle and burning its fat at the same time. When you're burning sugar and you go to work out, your body burns the sugar and then starts breaking down the muscle tissue. And that's not what we want. Especially as we get older, you want to make sure you're maintaining that muscle mass. It will increase when you're in ketosis, it increases your men's testosterone, human growth hormone, and balances out the female's hormones as well. And then night sweats go away and the roller coaster of hormones goes away. And it's extremely anti-aging. If you have joint pain, that stuff starts to decrease as well. And what I also like to tell people is you had mentioned brain fog. Iodine deficiency is the number one cause of brain fog and depression, and something that we are all suffering right now during this crazy time. And so I really promote the importance of iodine. And my Accelerodyne is different than any other iodine because it detoxes you from those heavy metals. It detoxes your thyroid from toxins that have clogged your thyroid and slowed your metabolism over the years and years and years. And people don't realize that when you don't have enough iodine in your body, the cells start accepting other toxins in their place. So people will say, gosh, Sarah, I used to be able to eat what I'm eating now and I felt fine. And now I'm gaining weight. My brain isn't functioning as well. Well, it's because these toxins have filled those cells up and you are slowing down and you don't have enough iodine in your body. So the Accelerodyne kicks out those toxins and fills it up so that it lifts the brain fog. And when you do it with the keto, the Accelerated Keto keeps your energy up physically and mentally. I intermittent fast, which means that I squeeze my eating window within a shorter period of time during the day. A lot of times I don't need to eat until dinner time. I eat one or two meals a day.
Hold on. There's so many people, they talk about fasting and they think it's like for a whole week or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So help us understand exactly what intermittent fasting is, because before talking to you, I was like, no, I'm not going to fast. I can't go without eating for 3 or 4 days. It doesn't work for me.
No. And I would never tell you to jump right into a 3 or 4 day fast. Personally, I've never done it. I do intermittent fasting. So that could mean just 12 hours. That could mean just going to bed at 10 and not eating until 10 the next day. But what I promote is trying to get people to at least an eating window of just 6 hours. That is really healthy, because what happens is when you're not eating, your body says, okay, I'm not working on digestion. So I can go through the body and it's like Pac-Man. I'm going to eat up all of the diseased and cancer cells. I'm going to reduce the inflammation. And this is called autophagy. So when your body's not digesting, it can go into that state of autophagy and anti-aging. This also helps with the hormones. It helps with the whole cascade. It's also helping with your insulin sensitivity. And remember, insulin affects all of your hormones. So when insulin is sensitive and reduced in the body, then all of your hormones are going to be better regulated. And that's your testosterone, progesterone. That's your GABA and your serotonin and your dopamine. So what I say to people is when I'm on my accelerated keto, I feel like my stressors and my cortisol levels have completely come down and they're in control.
You know, there's some terms I don't quite understand. The cortisol level, what does that mean?
Okay, so your cortisol is your stress hormone.
Okay.
So when you're stressed, cortisol is a great thing. You want to be able to run away from that tiger, right? Mm-hmm. Our ancestors needed that cortisol short term to run away from that tiger. That's why a mom can lift up a truck if her child's underneath it real quick. That adrenaline and the cortisol, those are your stress hormones. But in our current day living, we're chronically stressed. So what happens is cortisol is constantly flushing throughout our body, and this depletes our adrenals. Uh-huh. And this depletes, then what happens is your adrenal energy. We can get into a lot of detail here. I'll try not to, but what I want to talk about the most is cortisol will increase your blood sugar without eating anything. So if Steve, you're stressed out at work and you say, God, Sarah, all I've been eating is salads and chicken and I'm not eating anything bad, but I'm gaining weight. What's going on? Well, your cortisol is raising your insulin and your blood sugar. And that's storing fat. You don't have to eat a morsel of food. And those stress hormones are packing on the pound. So when you're in accelerated keto, that is going to lower your stress hormones and increase your happy hormones, mm-hmm. which is then going to continue to balance out your male hormones and your female hormones, regardless of who you are.
Let's take that a little step further. I'm kind of the guy that grew up as an athlete, okay? And even after athletics were over with me in school and stuff like that, I continued to work out. I'm the person who ate a small meal at like at 5, then at like 10, and then at like 2, and then I had dinner. So 4 meals a day. Now, it's a little different. Obviously, that practice hasn't changed since I was young. So obviously a long time ago, but should a practice like that change in order to maintain, reduce weight, fat, so on?
Yes. So what's crazy is that when your body is in ketosis, it will burn fat and gain muscle at the same time. When you are not in ketosis, your body cannot gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. It's very difficult. It is 80% what you put in your mouth and 20% exercise. So you will see bigger gains in the gym from doing the same thing when your body's in ketosis.
Okay.
So and what helps you stay into that fat burning mode is the intermittent fasting, because when your body, when you go to sleep and you're not eating for those, 8 hours, and then you wake up and you have your coffee, which increases ketosis, you have already entered a small portion of ketosis. When you eat that first meal and say it's a bowl of cereal, ketosis goes out the window, your blood sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, and your body starts burning its own muscle for fuel or the carbs that you've just eaten. It will not touch your fat stores. But what it will do is will tell you, I am starving, Steve. You better feed me in a couple of hours.
Oh, geez. Okay. I kind of figured out what was going on. It's so easy to just continue to do what you've done before. Probably been hurting myself more than I've been helping myself if I'm doing that. When somebody sits down with you and you do an evaluation, how does that take place?
Well, I've actually moved away from a little bit of that, but I usually listen to, and people can send me emails with their specific issues about what their main health goal is. And what's crazy is that for 99% of the people out there, the same solution will help all their issues, because what manifests itself as a gut issue in me might manifest itself as a hormonal issue in you. but it all is caused by the same problem. And that's the difference between the way Western medicine works and what I do, is that you are going after the actual problem, not the symptoms.
Sarah, we're coming to the end of, but I would like you just to let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Yes. So my website is acceleratedhealthproducts.com. And I'm also, my show is on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, Pandora, E360, every outlet you can find it, Accelerated Health Radio and TV. And if you have any questions for me, just email me directly through the website. I'm happy to help you find a protocol that's right for you.
Sarah, thank you so much. I know you're going to get a call from at least one person.
I'm happy to help.
And the hankering angries. So thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a happy, healthy life. And hopefully we can have you on again soon.
I would love to be on, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is Steve Sexton with Saving with Steve. Again, we're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun to help you have a healthier, happier relationship with money. Now, I want to introduce you to Andy Frazier. Andy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve. My pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. Now, Andy is a best-selling author for her book, Financially Free, 11 Conversations to Have with Yourself About Life, Money, and Worth. And it talks about how your upbringing could influence how we handle money as an adult, and the changing financial habits may require a deeper look about how those habits were formed. This is very, very interesting because I've done a number of interviews with people in the area of leadership. And every time I talk to them about their relationship with their parents and what habits they see, it's so funny that like my dad used to, like, we had five kids. So my dad used to go, and for some reason, now that I have kids, they're all, he's older, I used to go, just to get them to, you know, dad's talking, you know, we better watch out. So you can see those things. And there's habits that we have taken from our folks. And that's because they're the leaders in the family. And it's kind of like that mimicking that monkey see, monkey do stuff. And how it's really, really very interesting. I just wanted to start by asking you, what kind of questions should people be asking themselves when exploring how their parents approach money manners?
Well, I think first of all, it's always a good practice to go back and think about what were some of the phrases that you heard growing up as a child. I know I was raised in the South, so I heard things like money doesn't grow on trees, or money is the root of all evil, or, you know, one in the hand is worth two in the bush, something around that nature. And so going back and thinking about those phrases is a good place to start. But then going a little bit deeper is really important, and thinking about how your parents talked about money. Perhaps they didn't talk about it at all. I know that in my case, you know, in the South, you weren't really supposed to talk about money. It was considered to be somewhat rude or impolite. But were you able to talk about it inside of the walls of your family? And if so, what were some of those discussions? And then thinking about, you know, where was your first personal memory with money? When did you first realize that money meant something more than just a medium of exchange? And so those are really good, great questions to kind of start exploring this for yourself.
One of the things working with people in advanced tax planning and finance, I tend to like to ask people about what was their first experience. Mm-hmm. When did you realize money didn't grow on trees and, you know, your mom and dad aren't a bank anymore? And those type of things bring me some wonderful revelations. One of the statements that you made in one of your bios was, when you had that discussion with your folks, did you have a discussion or was it just shut down?
Right.
And it's interesting, in my family, you know, I'm one of five. My dad was a senior manager for a company and all that stuff. And when it came time to talk about, we got the allowance and stuff like that, and we got our own jobs and had to work our own. But when it came time to go, hey, look, I want to go to college, my dad said, you know what, I make too much money and we have too many kids, so I'm not going to be able to afford it. And you're probably not going to get a loan, so you're going to have to figure it out. Didn't like that response then, but it actually turned out to be a real good one because I figured out how to pay for college. And then I figured out how to get a company to pay for college because of what I was able to do for them. That was wonderful for me because it made me do things. But I also look at other outside influence as well. And you can probably talk to this, where marketing is about buying something now. It's about having what your neighbor has or having the coolest thing, especially in the 80s or the early 80s when I was in high school, where, you know, everybody was going to the mall or having a certain clothes, and that was important, and having certain hairstyles, and ladies had hair that went up this high back then. They call it mall hair. But could you talk about how those things could affect somebody's thoughts and patterns when it comes to credit, savings, stuff like that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, when I was doing this exploration for myself, and I thought back to when was my first personal experience with money, there were several different incidents that came to mind. And one of them was when we had moved to a new location. We moved when I was in sixth grade. And I remember joining the school mid-year, and the girls in the school had already formed their friend group. So I was coming in as the new girl. And sometimes that's a good thing, but in this case, it wasn't such a good thing. And I felt like that they were judging me in terms of whether or not I was worthy to be their friend based on the clothes that I wore or the shoes that I had or the book bag that I had. And I just thought that was rather odd that they would judge my ability to be their friend based on the material things that I had or whether or not my family had money. And, you know, growing up, I was in the 80s in high school as well, Steve, right there with you. You know, my parents, when I was growing up, my dad was a minister, a Southern Baptist minister. He entered the financial business right when I went to college. So when we were growing up, money was not something that we had, you know, a lot of access to. I can remember, you know, sharing a hamburger at McDonald's with my brother and my mom. You know, money was tight. And yet I always thought it was interesting how people would value your ability to be friends with them or whether they would invite you to parties or just how we attached other attributes to whether or not we perceived somebody to have wealth or not. And that really stuck in my mind. And so as I got older and was pursuing a career in finance, that was something that came up. I wanted to explore that a little bit more about how is it that we place these attributes or these characteristics around money, and how do we evaluate somebody's self-worth or worthiness to us, whether or not they have money. And so that's kind of what sparked my interest in behavioral finance from the very beginning. But what happens for when we have these incidences as children is we grow up and we either prove or disprove them as adults. So if we were not able to buy things when we were younger and we were told no all the time and we didn't see that we had those resources available to us, then when we get older and we start to earn money for ourselves, sometimes people will overspend to compensate for what they didn't have as children. On the other hand, sometimes people will be very frugal when they grow up. And so it's interesting to see the decisions that we make as a result of whatever happened to us as children and how other people treated us and how we want to make up for that as adults. And sometimes that can be a good thing. And in other cases, it can get us into debt and result in making poor decisions as adults.
Some of these things are really ingrained habits because people have been doing them for decades. And how do we kind of overcome those things? How do you learn to overcome those things?
You know, this is going to sound rather simple, I guess, but the first thing is to become aware that it's really happening. You know, so many times we make financial decisions. It's estimated we make 5 or 6 a day, and they may be small decisions like whether or not to get the pumpkin spice latte or drink your coffee at home. But we do make these decisions every day, all day long. And yet the subconscious mind is influencing what we do and how we do that. And so a lot of times just becoming aware that you're making a decision and that you're basing it on something that happened maybe 15, 20 years ago in your childhood is the first step towards making a different choice. And so it's about recognizing what's going on and then asking yourself, is this of service to me now and where I'm at in my life and where I want to go? Or is it time to readjust and pivot away from those old patterns that are keeping us stuck in those habits that aren't in service to where we want to be?
Let me throw this out. A couple years back, when I was doing TV stuff and I was talking about debt reduction and stuff like that and how to save money. And we donated our time at a farm that grows vegetables for a food pantry. And there was a military family there. And the reason why they were there during the summer is because they didn't have enough money to go anywhere else. And they found out that what I did, and I started talking to him about all their bills. And I realized that his spouse, she went to Starbucks. She got the coffee, the pastry in the morning. She got a coffee in the afternoon. So she didn't realize that that was actually like $15 a day times 20 days. So we're looking at $300 a week or $1,200 a month for convenience. And he, on the other hand, had a cool truck. He was in the military, but it guzzled. She, on the other hand, drove the Prius. And they were trying to find how we could save money to do stuff, put away for things, go on a family vacation. And we just started looking at, you know what? What if you got a Keurig, went to Costco, bought the Keurig thing for $36 for 120 of these, got yourself some creamer for $5, and then go to the local bakery and buy your pastries that you want to have every day, but bring your stuff from now on. Now, by doing that, the Keurig stuff and all the pastries and everything ended up costing about $60 for the whole month. So it was almost like $1,100 a month saving. And on his side, the three tanks of gas a week because of the drive that he had to go to the base and back went to a Prius, which turned into once every 2 weeks, which was another $300 a month. And then I said, hey, look, let's get an emergency savings and let's start looking at ways. I turned him into a book called Plan Your Escape from a guy named Wayne Dunlop, but it showed him how to find vacation places inexpensively. So they actually started doing it. And they, once a year, I get an email. This is what we've done so far. This is how much we've saved. They're all excited about it. But is that really about how they sometimes people just need help or somebody like yourself to have them guide them through how to go about doing it so they can have the skills to do it and then have them stick with it? Is that pretty much the way it is? Or
yeah, you know, Steve, I think it's important that whenever I sit down with my clients, I'm not going to tell them to not have simple pleasures in their life. You know, it's not, you're not going to be rich because you necessarily saved on all your Starbucks, but it's about making intentional choices each and every day about what you're spending your money on. I think it's about just paying attention and being intentional in many cases. And that doesn't mean that people aren't intentional all the time, but it's about every day kind of making it a practice of intentionality around how we're spending money.
I've got to go to break real quick.
Sure.
Hey, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Andy Frazier. This is wonderful.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back. This is the Saving with Steve show. As I said before, this is all about the ins and outs of money. This show is about making sure we have a healthier, happier relationship with money. And that's why we have Andy Frazier here. She's been talking about changing the intention we have towards money so we have a healthier life with it, So Andy, welcome back to the show. I'd love for you to continue on the point that you had just previously.
So we were talking a little bit about intentionality around money. And what I find is that a lot of people are conscious savers and unconscious spenders. And I think we need to kind of flip that around to where we become more conscious spenders. And then we set up unconscious saving so that it happens automatically. Because spending is where we can get in trouble. You know, wealth is created in between the cash coming in and the cash going out. And so if we're not paying attention to the cash going out, and in many cases, it's all the little things that really add up, and it's hard for us to get to a place to really save money and create wealth for ourselves. So I think we need to flip those two things around and become conscious spenders and unconscious savers.
This is unbelievably important. And I believe that there's way too little education or actual guidance when it comes to kids. And how would a parent start having this conversation with their children and to help them become money savvy before they start going out on their own?
So I have two children, and I can tell you that both of them respond and have different kinds of relationships to money. And so I think that's something important to recognize, just like I found whenever I've studied siblings that have grown up in the same environment. Many times they'll have very different decisions that they make about their own personal relationship to money. So when you're talking with your children, you may not have the same conversation with each of your children. You may need to have different conversations. That's the first thing. The second thing is that many times we think about teaching children how to save when they're early, maybe even as young as kindergarten, first, second, third grade, where you have that piggy bank and we teach them how to save a little bit of their allowance or money that they get. But I think what's more important is teaching them around being comfortable around money and making sure that they see us act responsibly around money, because children really pick up on that. So having good discussions about money, taking them with you when you do some of the shopping and let them be part of the process, whether it's entering things in on the calculator, cutting coupons, looking to see what the cost of something is versus something else, let them be involved in those decision makings. And then teaching them about discipline, about how they can save and then buy something that they want so that they create the art of waiting. And then they also will value whatever it is that they're purchasing a little bit more, knowing that they've had to wait some time before they've been able to get it.
I'm just going to talk about some of the things that we've done in our family. When our kids were little, my kids are juniors and seniors in college right now, but when they were little, my wife would have to go to the toy store to get somebody else a gift for one of the parties and all that stuff. But she always told them, hey, you can play, but we're not going to buy.
Right.
And then they'd leave. And then, you know, my kids saw me every time I was looking to buy a car. I'd probably spend 6 months researching it and finding it. I always got the best deal. And now I have a son who's studying electrical engineering, and he hems and haws about stuff, whether he's going to use it, whether he's not going to use it and all that stuff. And he saved a ton of money. On the other hand, I have a daughter who's, you know, beautiful and all that stuff and spends a little bit more. And I think some of it has to do with, you know, she needs makeup. My son doesn't, obviously, and stuff like that. And she likes clothes a lot more than he does. He's comfortable with t-shirts and his shorts. And she wants to look nice and stuff like that. But I'm saying, are those the type of things that parents should be looking at to help educate them on the best way to make good decisions? Or I'm not saying we did it right or anything, but.
Well, I think you've obviously done a good job, at least by talking about it. You know, so many parents don't even talk about it, or they just give, give, give. And then the children grow out of their own and they can't maintain that kind of lifestyle. And it gives them kind of an identity crisis. I see a lot of other women my age, we're talking about our children, and they've given their children everything. And when their children grow up and get their first job, they can't buy the car that mom and dad bought them in high school. They can't replicate what mom and dad were able to do. And so that can be a challenge. You know, what I did, my daughter is a sophomore in college. And when she went to college, I said, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money each month. And this is the money you've got to spend. Granted, college was taken care of and food was taken care of. So this was like extra money that she could spend on incidentals. And it wasn't a lot of money, but you know, she had to figure out how to make it work. And so she created a budget for herself and she's learned to kind of live within that. And I think it's good to be able to give them the ability to help raft it along with you so that they're not just the receiving, but they're part of that process on figuring out how to learn. And so I've been talking with her about money and my son about money since they were very little, but that's because I'm in the industry. So if you're a parent that's not familiar about money yourself, maybe you do a class, an educational class together where you're learning some of the basics, but including them in those discussions and letting them know the importance of learning as much as they can is one of the most valuable lessons that I think you can teach them.
I've met with PhDs that are super, super, super smart, but you teach them something in the finance area and they're still not very smart in that area. And that's just because they don't apply it. So, you know, when it comes to a parent, for example, we did something similar with our daughter. We said, okay, as a freshman, we want you to be fully involved with college. We don't want you to work or anything like that. So, you know, and obviously room and board and all that's taken care of, but the incidentals, we're going to add a couple hundred bucks a month to, okay? And then now as a junior, she had to go get her own job. And my son, on the other hand, he went and got paid interns as a sophomore and a junior, so he doesn't have to get a job because he figured he wasn't going to be able to have time to do anything else besides study. So they figured out their own way to do these things. But, you know, it's like, hey, this is what it is. So deal with it type thing. I don't know if that's the right approach or wrong approach, but I'm just curious.
I think that's a great approach. I think having them be involved, like with the money that I give my daughter, if she wants to buy something and she doesn't have the budget for it, she's going to either have to plan ahead or she's going to have to think about getting a job when she comes home for the summer or comes home for breaks. Certainly, there's opportunities, I think, as they get a little older and get a little bit more into college a little bit to kind of plan their schedule to where maybe they can work. And working in the field that they're studying, I think, is a great idea if they can earn those paid internships. But it's about having them be thinking through what that process is for them and what works for them. Then you can kind of go about it together. So I think that sounds like a great plan that you've done with your children. And that's kind of the goal, is to do it together.
There's people who grow up with parents who have big credit card debts and they might file for bankruptcy. How can they think about, you know, hey, I saw this happen with my folks. What do I need to be thinking about so I can avoid this in the future? How do I need to look at this if I'm living in that world where that's what happened with my folks?
You know, I think that first you need to recognize the emotions that you're feeling about that situation. How do you feel as a child seeing your parents struggle financially? What burden has it perhaps placed on you? And how is that impacting your ability to handle your day-to-day and the stress and the caregiving that you might have to engage in with that other parent or that older individual that you may be caring for? And I think recognizing that and then making a decision, I don't want to pass this on to my children. You know, when you're caregiving and you're taking care of somebody else, especially, you know, physically, mentally, financially, it can weigh upon your ability to take care of your family and do all the right things. And so when you get present to how that's making you feel and the stress it's adding to your life, you can then maybe decide to make a different decision with regards to how you want to leave your children and not wanting to leave them in that same situation. It's about becoming aware and then choosing powerfully to change the dynamics and the patterns that have long been ingrained in your family so that you can then create new patterns that are healthy and happy and good ones to pass along to your children.
That's wonderful. What are the biggest mistakes most parents are making when they're teaching their kids about money? I've seen parents that have walked up to their kids. And I'm a cancer survivor, so I've met with people who have cancer and I've been at houses and talking to families and stuff. And I remember one mom walking up to their 14-year-old kid and go, well, how do you feel? It's okay to cry. And I could see the kid going, I see those, to me, that's kind of the best way she knows how to deal with it. But there's mistakes that are being made. And sometimes those mistakes, if they are made, could create major problems, not only financially, but relationship-wise. And what are those biggest mistakes that parents need to think about before they start communicating with these things or creating the role model action?
Well, I think that what we have to realize is there's like this pendulum. And so you can be too far to the right or too far to the left. And so some parents, you know, kind of throw their kids out there and say, if you want it, you're going to have to earn it yourself and pay for it yourself. And so they're working their way through school. They're not able to maybe spend as much time on their studies or to enjoy those high school and college years because they're having to work.
Andy, I want to thank you for joining us today. I would like you to tell everybody where they can go get your book, how they can get in contact with you. So I know there's a lot of parents, a lot of people who would love help with this because it's one of the things that started coming in on our viewer and listener line. So please share us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you can find me at andefrazier.com. That's andefrazier.com. You can find my book at any major bookseller on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books. Financially Free is the name of the book, or Finally Free, depending on how you read it. And I'm excited to be an Amazon bestseller, so you certainly can find me there. And just reach out to me if you have questions or concerns. I have a newsletter that's free that you can subscribe to on my site and follow me on, you know, Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the major social mediums there. This is something that I talk about with my clients all the time, and setting their kids up for financial success success is something that I believe strongly in. And so I'm even thinking about new ways to be able to offer that to my clients. And so I would love to hear from parents that are out there if they have some questions.
That's wonderful. Because one of the goals for Saving with Steve is to set up an environment where parents could learn how to have that communication, create that education for their kids. Because the more financially stable people we have, there's less homeless, there's less disease, there's, you know, because there's so many things that go away when people are not financially solvent. So thank you. This is a wonderful topic. I appreciate you. And again, I wish healthy and happy life for you. Hopefully we can have you back soon. We'll see you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back. This is Steve Sexton with the Saving with Steve Show. Again, we're talking about the ins and outs of money. I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network, and all those networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, unlift your spirit, live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. You can get connected with our Insiders Club and at savingwithsteve.us. You can get all the replays there. You can get guest gifts, the whole shot. Next, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the old lottery. This is really interesting because lotteries this week, what is it? We're almost $940 million on one of the lotteries. We're over $800 million on the other lottery. We're looking at billions of dollars for some people who actually end up getting lucky enough to win. But the reality is people win lotteries all the time, and it doesn't have to be called the lottery. And here's some facts. Whether most professional athletes feel their career is going to go on forever, and most of them within a 7-year period are bankrupt. I also find out that, and I've seen this personally, where we see clients whose kids have inherited their entire IRA, might be $1 million, or brokerage account. And you know what? They go, oh my God, I've got a lot of money, never going to run out. And they go off and spend it. In fact, I had one case where I didn't know the son. I met the son later, but father passed away suddenly. And the son, I let him know, hey, look, this is an IRA. If you cash it all in, this is how much you're going to pay in taxes. Take it out over 5 years. If you inherit it, this is what happens. The son says, okay, no problem. I got it. Thank you. Goodbye. And basically, I was no longer the advisor. About 3 years later, I come to find out that this person bought a nice car. And by the way, it was red and it was a sports car. Got a beautiful boat, very fast boat. Bought a house, had a number of parties, lots of friends, the whole shot. And then 3 years later, he got a letter from the IRS. See, what happened is he took his father's $1 million individual retirement account, which had never been taxed, and started withdrawing money out of it. Because he didn't take the time to understand what was the impact of doing all that, he never paid any taxes on it. And typically informed with the IRS, about 3 years later, guess what? The IRS sent him a letter and says, you owe us $580,000. And since you haven't paid for the last 3 years, we're going to assess you a 6% penalty and interest on all the stuff you haven't paid on. So that $560,000 was actually about $610,000. Now, he didn't have a lot of money left, so his only choice was to sell the nice car, the boat, the house, and give the proceeds to the IRS. Now, think about that. He just wiped out $1 million worth of dad stuff, having a bunch of fun and parties over a three-year period. And the reality is, whether you win the lottery from an inheritance, from a high-paying job, from the lottery, it's important to be a good steward of your money. How do we be a good steward of the money if we won a lottery? Get a financial team in place. I do a tremendous amount of advanced tax planning for people who are selling highly appreciated assets. I help them reduce the taxes and stuff, but that's not like why I'm saying that. What you really want to do is you want to find a good attorney, a tax attorney, to help you protect those assets. Because the reality in our litigious society, there are people who are going to realize they got a bunch of money. And if I can be a nuisance, they might settle with me to go away. Or if he's done something really stupid, which you see actors and actresses do all the time, and then get suits, you're going to need your assets protected so somebody can't go after your asset. That's number one. Number two, you're going to need a good tax person, not somebody that just records it. You know, most CPAs are outstanding people, but they're just doing a tax return and they do a wonderful job at that. You want somebody who understands advanced tax planning, how in conjunction with that attorney will work together to protect your assets, reduce your taxes, the whole shot. And then the last part you need is a good financial advisor. Somebody understands how to make sure you can be efficient with your income distributions, the reduction of taxes, and they'll work candidly with the two other people so you can have a well-rounded out team. That way, when you're looking to make a financial decision from somebody whom, how I say, comes to you and wants to sell how they're going to move ice over to Africa and keep it iced down so they can cool the temperature down or some crazy idea like that, you can have three people in your corner to determine whether or not it would be in your best interest to move forward with that. It's interesting. We were sitting with a client who was looking to sell out some property. And it was a very highly appreciated asset. He also had a large number of other assets, complaining about the issues that he was going on with the taxes. And one of the things that we did is we said, hey, what if we give him three options, not just the one about reducing the taxes on the sale of this asset? And what we did is we made a recommendation that he changed the structure of all of his investments. So inside of the structure, the investments did not, any income that was generated didn't have to pay taxes on. The only income he paid taxes on were the monies that were he and his family utilized. Balance went to charities and stuff like that. He was able to control his assets, reduce the taxes. And when he actually sold that asset, he actually didn't pay any taxes on the sale of that asset because of the way the structure was. Now, it's not for everybody, but all I'm saying is, if you're in a position where you're going to win a lottery, get a large amount of money, sell off a big business, sell off a highly appreciated asset, whether it be grain from a farm, or a watch or a highly appreciated art or gold or whatever that's going to have large capital gains impact, you want to talk to somebody who's experienced and can work with a team to, one, protect your assets, reduce the taxes on it, and invest it in the fashion that you want, or at least provide that advice. So it's having a team there that makes that work. I hope that gives everybody some insight about the lottery. You want to understand the taxes, make sure you protect yourself legally from lawsuits, and make sure you have a good financial advisor. In fact, I would pick the team and then bring all three of them together to work together. Might cost you a little money, but it'll probably be the best money you've ever spent. I want to again thank Sarah Banta, the host of Accelerated Health Radio and Accelerated Health TV. She talked about natural health medicine, how you can deal with those pesky hormones, how you can deal with that brain fog, and all those type of things. I've talked to people who have had wonderful results with her. You might want to start talking to somebody like that if you're experiencing those issues. Also, Andy Frazier, we cannot do enough to educate our children and demonstrate to them being good stewards of our money, how to properly go about savings, how to properly go about creating wealth. And again, if you want to get more information from Andy Frazier, go to andyfrazier.com. ANDEFRAZIER.com, Andy Frazier, Financially Free. That's a wonderful book. You can get it at Amazon and many other booksellers. I want to thank you all for joining us today. I truly thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you letting your friends and family associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of financial and personal freedom. Again, you can always check us out and follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. I hope you have a great week. Stay healthy, stay safe. And that's all here from Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Save with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.